Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, the Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final.
And the layoff might affect Tuukka Rask. It may not, but it'll also affect every player on that Bruins roster.
Dale Arnold.
Do the Bruins win that?
Yes, they win the Cup.
Rich Keefe.
So the question is, how much did you wager?
I went all in.
I only wagered $99.
Oh, you son of a...
So I win with a dollar,
boys. Respect for yourself, Shire.
Oh, damn!
Dale and Keefe, middays.
How you doing, Mr. Dale?
Hello. Oh, hey, it's this guy.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, obviously, all of America has now decided that the way to play the game is the way Jeopardy James plays the
game. You
got to
go aggressive. The other day,
except for Shime, who didn't bet everything.
No, he didn't. But some guy, the other night, he absolutely crushed this guy.
I know.
It was super close for, it was like, Jeopardy James had like 12 grand. The other guy had like six. Like, so he was right in it. He hits a daily double, bets $10,616 or whatever, hits that. Two questions later, gets the double Jeopardy again, or the daily double again, and then just runs away with it. And if you're going up against them, you must just throw your hands in the
air. I got nowhere
to go. Walk off the set. Be like, all right, we're done.
I saw an interview on CNN with like the three previous big winners of the game.
Ken Jennings.
And two other ones. There was a lady.
There was a woman who won like 20 in a row
And she said that Jeopardy James has basically broken the game.
He has.
He's broken.
It's amazing, and I know there's still plenty of people that think he's cheating because the game has been on for, I think, 35 years, and we've never seen anybody like this. We've seen Ken Jennings win a lot, but he didn't bet crazy amounts of money.
Right.
And so Jeopardy James has taken it to another level, although the guy from Ashland almost beat him. There was a local guy that almost beat him. Everybody else, it's really been a laugher, but one guy was right there.
I believe it's Levine, even though it's spelled like Adam Levine, not the same guy.
Well, no, he had to change it.
Yeah.
He had to change it a little bit. Probably a lot of confusion there. But no, this guy is just is dominant at this point. So we might have to bring it back.
He's ruining the game, which is why we're going
to
play it.
We're going to have to bring it back. It's the most popular thing in the world. We're bringing it back.
And one of the worst parts is now these other players are starting to play like him. Like they're going to
that
high numbers.
Oh, they don't know what they're doing. They're going 1,000. They're hunting for daily doubles. They're missing. It's really in their heads. I think they're having a hard time. Like, you just... What's weird is, so these are all taped, right? Like, they're already taped.
Like, we don't know how far into the process Jeopardy James is, but he's a ways into it.
So, and when you are going there to compete against him, you know he's the defending champ, but, like, do you really know how dominant he's been? I don't think you probably have a sense,
because
right?
Because this was a month ago, basically.
How many games have you seen him play on TV? It's not as many as we have. It's not like they're showing up and they're like, I've seen him play 24 times.
Yeah, and I know they filmed differently since Alex Trebek's gotten sick. He came out and talked about that on like a CBS Sunday Morning, saying that they've actually decided to film more in a smaller amount of time because of, they don't know, you know, when his issues are going to spike during the day.
I know.
Because he has like 3 or 4 days off consecutively, where before, I guess they filmed like 3 or 4 days
a week.
They
do like 5 days in a day, basically.
Oh, yeah, now, and I think they've upped it since. That's what he said on CBS, whatever, this weekend, whatever the show is.
Yeah, all right.
Well, now Jeopardy James is calling out Tom Brady.
Is that right?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's not Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady said if he loses, I'm going to eat a strawberry. And
I think that'll get a lot of views.
Basically, Jeopardy James said, well, now what?
So he's going to lose. He's going to throw it.
I don't think so.
He might. Jeopardy James might lose just so he can see him eat a strawberry. People want to see Brady eat a strawberry.
That much?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like
maybe
$80,000 worth?
Well, no, even more, because then you're out of the game. At some point, they're going to have to ask him to stop, right? He can't just keep winning money from them. Eventually, he's going to submarine Jeopardy.
Well, at some point, if you take it on you know, truth here, that he's basically broken the game.
Yeah.
At some point, they're going to have to either rig it
so he doesn't win.
He can't win, like his button won't work or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Or they're going to have to say, okay, we've got to retire him now.
I think you wait until he gets to Ken Jennings' territory. Ken Jennings won like 70-something games,
yeah,
I believe.
And by the way,
games.
What would be the dollar amount based on how he's winning if he gets to 70-some?
It would be like $6 million bucks, probably.
Yeah.
And so they would have to probably say, all right, you're done. And now you can be like on the champions circuit. You can go up against Ken Jennings one time and then you're kind of done.
Because
like,
up against Watson.
Because think about all, yeah, he'd probably lose to Watson. All these other game shows, that's sort of it. You can go, you can have the best day ever on Wheel of Fortune, you're done. Yeah. You can have the best day ever on The Price is Right, you can win both showcases, you're done. You can't come back.
See you later. Thanks for coming.
Did you see that documentary, by the way, on Price is Right that's on Netflix right now?
I have not.
So there's this guy, it's called like The Perfect Bid or whatever. And so this guy is a psychopath, and he would just study. He knew how much everything cost, from Flintstones pills to cars to everything.
Because he was getting this damn boat no matter what.
Yeah, he was obsessed with it. He's like, a brand new gazebo! He's like, I know exactly how much that is. So this guy was like a database, and he would go, and he would always try to get on. He eventually got on, and he got the exact question or the right price, got all the way up there, but he lost on the wheel, so he like didn't make it. But then he kept going back, and he was helping people out from the crowd, so much so that like Bob Barker like knew who he was. But I guess that's like all part of the game, and so he was helping guys get in there. And then long story short, a guy eventually, a few years ago, remember when Drew Carey was doing it, he got the down to the dollar amount on the Showcase Showdown, to the dollar amount, and won both showcases. This guy claims that he and his wife just studied so much, but in reality, it was the other guy that had been obsessed with this game for decades, was like giving him the answers from the crowd. It's a very weird documentary. It's on Netflix.
I know there are people who think Jeopardy James is cheating.
They do. Oh, yeah.
No, I understand that. I see a text here from somebody who says he's definitely cheating. How does that play out? What do you do?
You either know the answers ahead of time.
So he's not cheating. The show is cheating.
Yeah, the quiz show.
The show is feeding him stuff.
Quiz show. Get people talking about it. Get people buzzing about it. Or the real morbid Keefspiracy here.
No.
You want the morbid one?
Oh.
Is, yeah, what? Okay. They may, unfortunately, have to get a new host for Jeopardy at some point. That's the reality. It's a sad reality. It's the true reality.
Even if he wasn't sick, they're going to have to eventually.
That's true, too. Right. He's been doing it for such a long time. This guy has a lot of buzz. Rather than...
Make him the host?
Yeah.
I think he'd be horrible at that job.
I don't know. He's showing
more personality.
He's showing more personality. No, he's showing more personality now.
He's doing the winkies, and he would creep me the hell out.
Would you rather Ken Jennings? That guy's just a weird
dude. Nah, I don't think Ken Jennings does not. This guy has more and more personality by the day. He's getting very comfortable up there. They're developing him. All Jeopardy fans are very well aware of who this guy is. Because I don't know, you wouldn't be, like, so Drew Carey is doing Price is Right. I don't think you could get like an actor or a comedian to do Jeopardy, right? Like every day
doing that.
You have
to be too serious.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, Drew Carey can do the Price is Right as a comedian.
Right, right.
But you can't be a comedian and host Jeopardy.
What about Greg Proops? He could probably do it. He did that Smart Guy show on Comedy Central for a while.
I think Jerry Thornton would be the perfect guy.
Jerry Thornton could do it, I bet.
Huge Jeopardy fan.
You know, Will Ferrell maybe? As
Trebek.
They could do that.
That would also be kind of morbid, I think.
Ron Burgundy?
Ron Burgundy. No, I think it'd be Greg Proops. It'd probably be Greg Proops. Or Ben Stein. Remember Win Ben Stein's Money?
Can they just do
that show?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel was the best part of that show.
Jimmy Kimmel was the best part of that show. What was it, Sean?
Can they just do Whose Line Is It Anyway during...
Yeah, they could. They have Wayne Brady up there. They all just kind of act it out.
Colin Mockery gets up there.
Ooh, these guys ad-lib so well. They definitely didn't know what was coming. These guys, wow, holy smokes.
That's going to be a really hard job to replace, though. Like, people thought that about Bob
Barker.
Do you
think the show keeps going, or do they just retire it?
Are you kidding? That show ain't going anywhere.
No, I know. But he's such a staple of that show. Like, that, he is the show.
What about Kenan Thompson? Hosts all of them on SNL?
Could be Kenan. I could see that.
Now, see, going back to a comedian now. You cannot have a comedian.
Yeah, probably not. It's too serious. It's too buttoned up.
And Kenan Thompson could not be serious. He would inevitably try to be that smart-ass Saturday Night... I mean, by the way, he's not even that funny on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, you're out of your mind. He's one of the best Saturday Night Live castmates of all time.
Well,
I think.
It goes with like how long he's been on. I think he's gained over time.
He's been on longer than anybody, right? Didn't he pass Fred Armisen, I think? I think he's been
Tim Meadows. Didn't Tim Meadows?
I think he was the longest. I think Keenan might have passed him by, too. Keenan's been on the cast forever.
Texter's got the perfect guy to replace Alex Trebek. Anderson Cooper. Serious, dignified, smart.
He actually could do it.
He could pull it off.
Only if he takes a shot every round, so he can just watch that reaction.
They get so drunk on New Year's. You notice that? The CNN guys?
Did you ever see that man take a shot?
Drinks. I saw that after the fact, but I've seen their New Year's Eve special, and they have like correspondents like all over the place. Like, oh, we got one in New Orleans, one in New York, one wherever. And they're all just like hammering drinks, and they're getting so loopy.
That's what you do on New Year's Eve.
You can't do that on TV. I thought that was illegal. And they're all just like, they're like, this is delicious. And they're like, ah! One guy got his ears pierced one day. I'm like, what is happening right now? They just go crazy on. They like, one day they like just cut loose. First day of the year, I guess.
Let her rip.
The FCC isn't watching around midnight.
I guess they're
January
not.
January 1.
No, this is like the whole buildup. It's like 7 o'clock at night. These guys are all tanked. Very weird.
So we now know, based on what happened last night, who the Bruins will be playing in the Stanley Cup Final beginning Monday night here at the TD Garden. The St. Louis Blues, as we kind of said was going to be the case yesterday, based on the roster issues that the Sharks had, you know, they didn't have Erik Karlsson, they didn't have Joe Pavelski, they didn't have Thomas Hertl. We kind of thought they were going to have an issue, and they did.
They sure did.
And the Blues move on. Somebody on Twitter, I retweeted it earlier today because he had a great point. If the Blues face the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final, which they now do, the last time each St. Louis pro team played for a championship, they lost to a Boston team. In 1961, the St. Louis Hawks lost to the Boston Celtics. That was the last time they
played.
That
was a good Hawks team. Yeah. Was that Bob Pettit?
1970... The Blues lost to the Bruins. That was the last time the Blues played for a championship.
Wow, it's been a drought there for the Blues.
2001.
They're singing the Blues.
Yeah.
Come on.
2001, the St. Louis Rams lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, the last time they played for a championship. 2013, the Cardinals lost to the Red Sox, the last time they played for a championship.
Oh, boy. So they do not want to see Boston.
They are thinking,
no, thank you. They are not having a good time. Also, this is fitting quite a theme for the 2019 playoffs. The Bruins are playing a team. The only 100-point regular season team that they faced was in the first round. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
And that was a 100 even. They played Toronto in the first round. Then they faced Columbus, who had 98 points. Carolina, 99 points. St. Louis, 99 points. Each round, they faced, in my opinion, the inferior team. Now, give those teams credit for winning. Columbus beat Tampa. Carolina beat the Islanders.
Right.
And obviously, they beat the Blues beat the Sharks. I think thanks in part due to injuries. You know, even when Karlsson was playing, he was not Erik Karlsson.
Not his fault.
Like, that was, he was not the
same
guy.
He is obviously, we'll hear something today or tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, bad.
You know, he's had surgery on this torn groin or whatever it is.
And it's funny because you asked before about, you know, does this sort of taint the run that they're on, or is there an asterisk, or like how do fans view it?
Not here.
No, not here.
People elsewhere will try to stick an asterisk on it if the Bruins in fact win the cup.
I wouldn't do that. I think the only time it would come up, and we got to play it out and assume that they win the next four games or four of at least the next seven. I think when you go back and you're comparing all-time teams, I think that's where it would affect them the most. I don't think you can take it away from them. That's insane. Like, if you win, you win. And those other teams, too bad. Tampa Bay lost, don't care. They had a couple guys hurt, don't care. Kucherov got suspended, don't care.
Right.
Like, they lost. I'm sorry, they didn't make it there. But when you're going back and you're comparing, like, all-time teams, part of it is the road that they had to get to the finals. Like, the team. So, like, the Red Sox from this past year, for example, they beat the Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers. Like,
can't get much better than that.
No, that was it. That was the toughest road possible.
Right.
And they beat all those teams. So, not only do you take the 108 wins that they had, but then you add on top of it how impressive their playoff run was. Unfortunately, this isn't the Bruins' fault, but unfortunately, this is as easy a run, just matchup-wise, as you could possibly get to go to the Stanley Cup Final.
So we need Scheim, our gambling expert.
Scheimer!
To give us the most recent Stanley Cup odds. Not for Game 1. I actually think the Blues have an advantage in Game 1. But we'll get into that as we go forward. But the question is here for the series. Because we've been telling you guys for a while now. They were the Las Vegas favorites for a while now. They were the Stats Nerds favorites for a while now.
As soon as Tampa went out, they became the favorite because when they went into the playoffs, I think it was sort of there was a few teams either tied for second or right around there. Like, they were all kind of jumbled around. Calgary was probably one of those teams, maybe even Pittsburgh. But all those teams got bounced out. The Bruins have been the favorite every step of the way since. And I would assume it's probably a pretty tilted number.
Scheim?
The Bruins right now are indeed favored. They're sitting at a minus 165. While the Blues are at a plus 145.
Now, I have a feeling that the number may have changed somewhat because I heard Mutt earlier today say that the Bruins were minus 150, and it sounds as though even in the last couple of hours that number may have changed some.
Yeah. They're like,
and I also think it could be depending on which site you look at. I'm currently just looking at Bovada as the easiest to type in.
Yeah.
Mutt may have our good friends down at
Twin River. Could be. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you find that 150 if you can get it. The 165, I know Rossi hates those odds. No thanks, he says.
Not even the Blues. Those aren't even good numbers.
And what did you say the Blues were again?
Plus 145.
Not bad. If you think they're going to win the series. Rossi just wants, I'm telling you, he just wants like mega bucks. Like he doesn't want to bet normal.
This is
bets.
My lottery. Like I'm looking for, like, I put down 10 and I went
a million. We ruined this guy with our playoff run.
Yeah, we did.
Our NFL playoff betting run. We ruined him.
We had a good
fun
run.
Fun fact, I still have a scratch ticket at home I haven't scratched since then because I'm like, I just.
Oh, bring it in.
Oh, should I scratch it here?
In.
Maybe I'll scratch it tomorrow.
No,
Friday.
Do a video. People love that. It's like an unboxing. You can do like a scratch.
Right, we'll do it on a false game where Friday. But my wife.
These degenerate gamblers will be watching that video so quick. They'll be like, oh, what do you get? How many bells? How many bells is that? Is that three bells?
I may not be here, but you can guarantee I'll watch.
He'll be there in spirit. Shine will be here in spirit.
But my wife literally puts it in front of me like every day. Like, you got a scratch? I'm like, nah, I'm not feeling lucky. Because when we were on that streak.
Wait, when did you get this scratch off?
Oh, this has to be like around my birthday, which is in January.
So. What is there like a?
Don't you feel like it's money burning a hole in your pocket?
It might be expired by the time you scratch it off. You win like 10 grand, and then it's like, oh, sorry, you need to cash
sorry,
it by
sir,
May.
You just missed.
Yeah, whoops.
Nah, it doesn't work that way. They think you have like 4 years.
4 years.
I had a scratch ticket. I won like $3 and I found it. And
so
it was
what?
So good.
Yeah, what are you waiting for?
I don't really get this. What kind of mood?
Because Lady Luck. I need to feel
lady
lucky.
Lady Luck.
I need to see some wins. Like I need to be like a rolling emotion. I don't think
you
I
need
scratched.
To see some wins.
Yeah, I gotta feel.
How about the Bruins run that they're on? Does that
I didn't bet them
you?
Though. I'm talking about me winning. Like when we were winning in the playoffs with the Patriots. Like I started to feel.
Yeah,
more
but do
lucky
you understand your logic is flawed here?
Of course it is.
You haven't entered into any bets, and yet you want to win bets before you scratch this off. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's,
you're never gonna
welcome
bet.
To my brain.
You're never gonna scratch this ticket. Bring it to Scheim. He's very lucky all the time.
If
he'll scratch it for you.
If you haven't bet between when we won in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was 5 months
now,
ago.
Then you're still on a heater. Why haven't you scratched this?
Friday. If you never bet again, you true. End your life on a heater.
That's right. You are on a heater.
Can't quit on a heater, Dale.
Think about that. Go take your lucky penny and scratch that puppy off when you get home.
I'll do it here on Friday.
Bring it in on Friday. We can carve a segment out around that. You scratching off a ticket, not winning anything.
Now, I would guess, and I'm just. You know, throwing it out here because you guys are my gambling sources.
That's
I don't know this world.
The Scheim timer.
I would think at Twin River, there's going to be a lot of Bruins money coming in.
Well,
so won't the number be smaller there?
Maybe. I mean, maybe they'll do that. I mean, because they still want to take the bets, obviously, and I think that they will. But I don't know. I don't know if Muck got that number there or not. Because I assumed the whole Patriots run. That they must have been flooded with Patriots bets.
Wouldn't
like,
you think?
Like, I was like, oh, man, if they keep winning and they keep covering or they keep winning, you know, against the spread or whatever it is, then you could put them out of business, like, with all the amount that people were betting on the Patriots. I can't imagine there was a whole lot of people going down to Twin River in February saying, give me the Rams. Like, I doubt it, right?
So, on January 2nd of this year, the St. Louis Blues were in dead last in the entire National Hockey League. They had a record of 15-18-4.
Yikes.
And they were dead last. They had the worst record in the NHL. This was January 2nd of this year. So there's this gambling show on Nesson. I don't even know what it's called, but it's on the screen up here.
All right.
And because it's a gambling show, they were talking about this guy, a St. Louis native, who was in Vegas in early January, bet with his heart, not with his head, bet $400 on the St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup at 250-1.
I was going
to
say, I saw they were 250. I saw at one point they were 300-1, but so he got him at 250-1?
Yes.
And he bet $400?
Well, he'll win $100,000 if the Blues pull this off.
See, Rossi,
now that's a heater, Rossi.
That's what you need to do. You need to bet all these long shots at the beginning of the season and be like, see, I got money on all these guys. That's what you need to do. That's where the big money is. You can't bet on the favorite now.
All right, I'm going to do this for the NFL. I'll find a team that's ridiculous odds that I think may have a chance.
Jets.
Browns.
No, Browns are too high now. I bet they're way too high. I bet because I think they're the favorite to win their division, according to Vegas.
Like, I wonder what I'll have to look at like Dallas. That's just off the top of my head. But that's a good idea.
I don't know about that. At least this guy's from St. Louis. It makes more sense for him.
Yeah, and
you can't
he
just like sprinkle
he,
like
he,
$10.
What am I supposed to bet, the Patriots?
Well,
there's no money in that.
No, there's no money in that.
Because they're not going to be 250-1. And he admitted he thought it was kind of throwing money away when he did it, but they were his team. He loved them. So he bet $400 on them at 250-1.
I'll tell you what, though. If there was one sport to do it in, isn't it hockey?
Like, where you get some team that can come out of nowhere.
Because you look at, so say January in the NBA. The team that's in last place in the NBA in January.
They're not getting
the title. No, they're in last place in March and April as well. Like, whereas in hockey, look at Carolina, look at Columbus, look at St. Louis. Those other teams didn't bottom out. Like, Columbus didn't bottom out like they did. But we thought that there were going to be sellers at the trade deadline, and they weren't. So some of these teams that were on the outside jumped into the playoffs, went on these big runs. Yeah, the Blues ended the season really strong, and they needed to just to get into the playoffs, obviously. Same with Dallas and some of these other teams out west. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing that they're here, because that does not look like, when you take a look at the roster, similar to Carolina. Then, no, they're better than Carolina, but when you look at the roster, it doesn't look like a cup team.
If you're a Bruins fan, is your concern, your biggest concern here, that this is a team of fate? Dead last on January 2nd, found a way to get to the Stanley Cup Final. This is their year. It's kismet. They're going to win the Cup because it was meant to be.
See, I thought before this series that it was more meant to be for San Jose because of some of the
Joe
calls
Thornton.
That they got.
Oh, and the
not,
calls.
Not just
yeah,
Thornton,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, but how they beat Vegas. You're like, give me a break. Like, they got, they're in the bag for them here. And then when you add on top of it the hand pass in this last series, if they were able to win after that, I would have been more afraid of, for some reason, they're getting the calls. San Jose, things are coming up. And if they were healthy, they're just more talented. Like, they have more elite-level players on San Jose
well,
than they do
into
on St. Louis.
This series, yeah. I thought San Jose was a better team. But then they lost Hurdle and Pavelski and Carlson, and then they're not a more talented team.
That's just been the theme of the whole playoffs. With the exception of the Bruins, every time there's a better team, something happens, and the upset goes through. I would love to find out, and maybe we can look this up, going into each playoff series, the underdog going into the series, how many of them won for this year? Because I would assume it is more than not. Columbus was clearly the underdog. Carolina was probably the underdog in both series that they won. St. Louis, I'm guessing, was the underdog to start the San Jose series.
Oh, I bet. Sure.
I don't know about Dallas, but Winnipeg they were.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like that, so I bet there's more upsets, series, like series price, not game to game, but series price, than there was favorites moving on. And how often do you see that?
So almost the whole first round of the Western Conference
was like the road upset. Team, right?
Colorado over Calgary.
Yeah, upset.
You had Dallas over Nashville.
Upset.
And you had St. Louis over Winnipeg.
All right, so those were all upsets.
By betting odds, I bet you the last one, St. Louis, was a little bit closer.
Yeah.
But those
yeah.
were all upsets.
Yeah, we'll San Jose number. Was probably the only first round team in the West that should have won their series. Like, that's pretty crazy. Like, you don't see that every year.
Now, a texter brings up a good point, and Shyam, I'm surprised you didn't bring this up.
Well, you got to give him time. I'm sure Shyam's thinking about this.
We were talking about, you know, this guy who bet $400 on the Blues to win at 250-1 because they're his hometown team, and he bet with his heart. Shouldn't he be laying it in on the Bruins now?
Oh, yeah, you got to hedge your bet.
I mean,
but you just wager enough
to get your money back.
Just a little bit more than your money back, exactly.
So if he bets $15,000 at minus 150, he's guaranteed to make money no matter what.
I don't know how the math checks
he
out there on that.
He only laid 400 on the St. Louis Blues, right?
At 250-1, he's supposed to get $100,000.
He needs to wager like $600 to win his money back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you want to. That's you know, because then you're talking about. Nah, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it too much.
You hedge your bet, man. Yeah, absolutely. You wager $600.
Yeah, but do you do what Dale said, and do you bet like 15 grand or whatever?
I don't do that.
Yeah.
You wager the 600 to make sure you cover the 400 you originally spent, and you're good to go.
Right, because you're still rooting for your team, and then there you go.
So we're not just content with ruining Jason Rossi's life. We're here to ruin all of your lives.
That's right.
Or
make them better.
Gambling
or
degenerates. And
make them better. You
it's
can
what
buy
we
that,
do here.
Whatever the, you know, you had your eye on at the store, you can go buy it now.
Maybe.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We'll talk about the Bruins against the Blues for the Stanley Cup. It is the first time for the Blues in a Stanley Cup final since the Bruins beat them in 1970.
A little bit,
been
of,
a bit of a drought. A little
Holy
bit
smokes.
Of a drought
what
for
What have
them.
They been doing? Jeez.
And as I understand it, I was listening to Mutt and Callahan this morning, as I do every morning.
Every morning.
And Mutt was saying the ticket sales for tomorrow night's scrimmage are general admission, but they start filling the arena from top to from bottom to top. And he said the whole lower bowl was already sold out.
I heard over 11,000 already sold.
They might bang it out for
They're going to sell it out, Rossi, much to the chagrin of our own Jason Rossi.
Good for the Jacobs
family. Who thinks it's a terrible idea.
Money's going to the Bruins Foundation.
Sounds like a money grab.
Sounds like Jason Rossi's a little bitter about it because he was maybe wrong, but that's okay.
Okay.
It ain't sold out yet. Still right.
No.
There might be one empty seat.
Go for it.
And just to quickly answer, 7 upsets in the NHL playoffs this year.
Whew, boy.
Which is another reason people will put an asterisk next to the Bruins' name if they win the Stanley Cup. By the way, not here.
No, not here.
Here, they'll be very content to win a Stanley
Cup. Raise it above
Cup.
Our heads. Celebrate the parade.
They will have a duck boat parade like all
what
others.
What day is the parade going to be?
Well, doesn't it depend on if you win or not?
You don't think they're going to win?
I think they are, yes.
Well, so what day is the duck
boat parade? I don't get quite as cocky as you do.
Well, I'm not cocky. These are just facts.
Win in 4, win in 5, win in 6, win in 7.
I think St. Louis stinks. They're not as bad as Carolina, but they're not very good.
That St. Louis stinks. No. Another t-shirt that we need to have made up.
I'll wear it.
We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. First, we've got...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A trend. All right, get used to it, because you're going to hear a lot about this over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, what is this?
I guess this is Laura Branigan and Gloria.
Yeah.
Post-game, the Blues play this in the locker room after every win. They first played it, come-from-behind win against the Florida Panthers way back in, like, February. And as it turns out, they had several players who were watching the Eagles-Bears NFC wildcard game in Philadelphia back on January 6th. Had some guys together. They had a DJ in the bar where they were watching the game. And whenever there was a commercial break, the DJ would crank the tunes, and all these guys from Philly would get up and start dancing to this, believe it or not. So they kept playing.
Okay.
So they said, yeah, we should play this song after our team wins. They won the next game. We got a shutout. So they kept on playing it. So now Laura Branigan is being reborn thanks to the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, Laura Branigan dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How to put a downer on the whole thing.
Well, you said she's being reborn.
Well, I mean, I would say the song.
Quite literally, I guess. In fact, her ashes were scattered over Long Island Sound. She died in her sleep August 26, 2004. Yeah, Laura Branigan dead. Kind of a morbid thought there. Previously undiagnosed brain aneurysm.
Oh.
So
how to take it right down to ground zero.
I'm sorry, Dale, but now she was a very beautiful woman for her time, and she had honey in her voice, but dead.
Not sure that that's necessarily the song that I would want to have my victory song.
If I'm the St. Louis Blues, I don't know why you overthink things. This is your song. Get the crowd going a little bit. The name is in the title there. The whole thing is fantastic. Now, this guy could be dead too, for all I know, but... What version is this, Rossi? Good Lord. No, play the... I need the real part at the beginning where he does the whole thing. But listen up, here's a... Yeah.
Listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night...
This song is a heater.
It could be a blowout in the whole crowd.
Yes. Inside
and outside. Laura Branigan sounding better and better to me by the minute here.
I don't know. These guys are pretty electric. It'd be a battle. Eiffel 65 versus Bear Force 1. Who do you got? Yeah, they might. I think, as a Bruins fan, you got to feel really good about your song compared to those other two.
This is much better.
This is so much better.
I wonder if Bear Force One even knows what, you know, the connection is. I mean, they know hockey, obviously.
They must.
In Denmark. But
of course. No, they're in the Netherlands, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're in the Netherlands.
But you'd still know hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know much about the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, not really. Yeah, these guys are better. So if it came down to it, who has the better celebration song, goal song, whatever. I think advantage Bruins for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I heard they're going to unveil this for the first time
tomorrow
at the Garden tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Let it rip.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
By the way, can we just get our gambling expert back on here for a minute?
Yeah, Sean's listening.
Because I suggest, well, that's who I'm talking to. Because I suggested about how much you'd have to bet on the Bruins to hedge your bet for this guy.
Yeah.
And you shot me down.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying to hedge the original bet of, you know, your $400.
What's that?
Right. $400.
Yeah, let's make sure I get my $400 back.
So $400 for...
250 to 1 gets you $100K.
Yes. Which is what he's in line to make
Rossi,
if the Blues
now we're
win.
Talking. So $100,000.
But
yeah,
he's now guaranteed money if he handles this properly, hedges his bet, and bets on the Bruins.
Oh, yeah. And like, so if he wagers like $50K on the Bruins, he is guaranteed at least $40K in profit here.
Either team.
Interesting. So now, would you rather win $100,000, maybe win $100, or definitely win $40? I guess you would probably definitely want to win.
Supposedly, 40. This guy has already been offered $20,000 for his ticket, and they said, no. I'm going to hold on.
Wait, what? No, you like I'll just bet more money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you got to do. The math kind of confused me before, if you can believe it or not. But so that's what you would do is you would bet $50,000. So now if the Blues win, you lose that $50,000.
But you're still
up. But you cash the $100, so then you would end up winning either $50 or $40. So at that point, you can't win $100. So you'd win either $50 or $40.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, that's what you do.
Laura Brannigan dead. Thanks for the bulletin.
Rossi, we got it. Died in her sleep, 2004.
Why don't you just throw some more sand on the ice, Jason?
Her ashes
what was that?
Were scattered over the Long Island Sound.
It's going to be the drop you'll hear throughout the next 2 weeks.
No, I think we're
assume,
good.
I assume per her wishes, but I don't know for sure.
We can assume that that's probably fairly safe.
Her first album was just titled Brannigan. Her second album, Brannigan 2, followed by Self Control, Hold Me, Touch. Then in 1990, she came out with Laura Brannigan, and then Over My Heart.
She branched out when she went to Laura Brannigan.
Yeah.
But yeah. As Rich pointed out, she's not with us anymore.
She was also a part of the 1982 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, where she performed Gloria, believe it or not.
She is also an absolute smoke.
Well, let's, come on.
Just letting you know, she
she's
was
ashes. Died in 2004.
Just.
I'm sorry. Facts are facts, Dale.
We made a pun joke about a dead person.
She died a long time ago, Dale.
She probably has
we're all moving
family
on.
And
we're all moving on. No, I know.
Friends
our thoughts
there.
Are with them.
T&P.
With them, for sure.
Let's get to the calls with some of you guys. 617-779-7937. Bruins fans now know who the opposition is.
That's right. It's the Blues.
You begin Monday night, Monday and Wednesday of next week. 8 o'clock face-offs at the TD Garden.
I'm not overlooking tomorrow night's tilt. I'm not overlooking
big,
that at all.
Big tilt.
Are you doing the pregame or not?
I have not been told.
What are they doing? So that game's going to go on
I got
not
a call.
On television?
I got a call.
Okay.
I'm working Sunday.
What are you doing on Sunday?
Media day. Big media day for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, so there's Brick like a media
I,
day?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for both teams.
So that's going to be on the air?
We're doing a whole...
A special?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I kind of would like to see you guys out there tomorrow night.
Dale, worst case, if you're not, could we do like a, on the Dale and Keith Twitter, maybe we could have like a quick live Periscope with Dale doing a pregame?
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. Yeah,
I don't
that'd
think
be
he's
great.
Gonna do that.
I'll co-host with you, Dale. Make it even more fun.
Who are you betting on? Are you taking Rask or are you going with Halak's team?
Team
upset?
Black, no matter what. Team Black.
Yeah, I've always bet on Black.
I'm taking Halak.
Yeah, I like that.
Tuca's Team White. He's the only player we know of.
I know. I got to see what the
Wiggy was a little upset
is.
This morning. That it was Wiggy black was? And white and not black and gold.
I thought it should be black and gold too, but I guess it's tougher to.
Here's the problem:
tell.
They have practice jerseys,
yeah.
That are black or white.
Are
makes
they pennies?
They don't.
You
no,
flip
they
flip them in and out.
No, they like hoops? They actually have jerseys. They can now. They could also just wear uniforms,
or to continue the money grab, introduce new uniforms that people are going to want to buy.
Oh, look! Let's go get that one, honey.
I don't have that one. That's an alternate jersey. Look at that.
617-779-7937. Fred's in New Hampshire. Hey, Fred.
Arnie, Keithy.
What's up?
Hey, Keith, what does it mean to be beautiful for your time? What the heck was that?
That is how I would describe Laura Brannigan.
Beautiful. If you're beautiful, you're beautiful. I don't care what time.
I think he was talking more about the 80s hairdo.
Yeah, I think her haircut would look a little odd now. And so for her time.
Unless you were in Eastie.
I've seen a lot of photos of her in black and white. She looks pretty good.
Okay. I want to talk about this time off and everybody having a problem with it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I want to address the skatey cats out there.
All right.
When did this team ever let you down this year? Okay? They started out. They had injury after injury early. Never a factor. And then they had the Winter Classic. It was a New Year's treat. They took care of Toronto, Columbus, Carolina. Now we have a great St. Louis team. This is a great team. Trust me, guys.
I don't see it.
This is a very good team. And they have great fans. Not since Toronto have we had fans that are this passionate, and they really do care about hockey.
Columbus was super passionate about their team.
Yeah, for what?
What do you mean for
they
what?
They have a cannon, for crying out loud.
They were going nuts.
They were 24th in the league in attendance.
They were loud. They weren't loud. They were loud. Huh? Columbus was loud. It was a good atmosphere. Good barn, as they say.
Anyways, all you skating cats.
Sold out in the playoffs.
All you skating cats, you take Gary Unger and crawl under the bed.
Ow.
You can come out on June 9th and June 12th because we're going to have a parade.
I know. I was trying to figure out what day
Fred's
that is. That's
guaranteeing it.
Yeah, when's the parade? I'm looking forward to that. How many people will they get at the parade?
Millions.
It'll sell out just like tomorrow night.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that.
Sick, if they could find a way to monetize the parade, believe me, everybody would try.
He says St. Louis is a great team. I don't see it.
I'm not sure if I'm going to go that far.
Yeah, let's get to that later.
They are a worthy team. They deserve to be in the Stanley Cup final. They earned the opportunity to be there, and good for them. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Because we don't do enough to embarrass ourselves on a daily basis, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, we're going to play Jeopardy against each other again because it went so well for both of us the first time.
Shime is the defending champ, so he will get to
with
go
a dollar.
First. Yeah, with a dollar.
So proud.
Well, hey, champ's the champ.
He probably wants to retire undefeated and with his $1 in winnings. Mm-hmm. But we'll do that at about 12:30 or so. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UEEI.
The Blues just won. We're going nuts here in New York City at Watch What Happens Live, rooting on all the boys in St. Louis, especially my man, Pat Maroon, St. Louis's own. Hey, Blues, this is your destiny.
Andy Cohen all fired up.
Destiny, huh?
John Hamm is a huge Blues fan. A legit Blues fan.
John Hamm, Andy
Cohen.
Goes to
the games all the time.
Jenna Fischer, who played Pam on The Office.
I like John Krasinski better.
Well, he's obviously a Bruins fan, but I'm just saying the St. Louis Blues celebrity fans, that's a good list. Better than what Columbus and Carolina had.
We've got Krasinski. We've got Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
We got Lenny Clark.
Yep, that's about it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
There must be more. all the Wahlbergs.
Wahlbergs probably are a fan. Yeah. It's not like the Patriots, I don't think. I don't think people have jumped on board
not yet,
like as much.
Before we get back to the calls, can I give you a couple of quick updates from the NFL League meetings in Key Biscayne, Florida?
Yeah, I'll take an update.
So the Kansas City Chiefs proposed changing the overtime rules. They didn't like the overtime rules.
Which I'm with them. And I know people love it here because it worked out for the Patriots, but I don't like the overtime rules either.
Here's what I don't like. What they were looking at was changing the overtime rules for the playoffs only. Mm. And the owners said, you know what, we're going to hold off. Didn't have enough support to pass this year. They will continue to look at it, perhaps take it up next year.
See, I don't mind that, though, because the overtime rules are different in the playoffs right now. Insofar as you can have a tie in the regular season, right? Like, you can play out that quarter, right, and then that's it. So the rules are different. Now, who scores and the sudden death and all that aspect of it is the same, but I see how you could do that. I mean, in the NHL, is it a big deal that the playoff overtime is different than the regular season overtime? I think it's fine.
And
it's preferred.
Obviously, in the regular season, you don't want to go all night.
No.
In the playoffs, if that's what it takes, that's what you do.
Right. And then you also don't want to decide it by a shootout in the playoffs. So fine. That's good. But I think that is one, and I know everybody always says, well, if you just get a stop. Like, all right, well, I still would want to see the offense out there. I would like to see Tom Brady get a shot. In this case, he did, and they won. And Patrick Mahomes, the MVP of the league, is just sitting there, never had a chance.
Well, the proposal by the Chiefs has been tabled to next year. What they're talking about is, let's continue to study it. The other thing that happened, the NFL, and this will go right up the rear ends of those, hey, put a skirt on them, that crowd.
Oh, boy, that is a growing crowd.
The NFL has outlawed four drills. Including
Oklahoma
the
drill?
The Oklahoma drill has been outlawed.
I love the Oklahoma drill. We should do the Oklahoma drill right now. Get in the hallway. There's four of us. We'll do it that way.
You really can't escape. It's a narrow hall.
Oh, I know. You got to be real shifty. You got to be like, Edelman could get by you out here in the hallway. Nobody else. What do you say, Oklahoma drill? You and Shime, Rossi, versus me and Dale?
Oh, absolutely. We crush you guys.
I don't think so.
I'll be the champion of this, too.
I don't think so.
So they've outlawed the Oklahoma drill.
Oh, my. That is bad. That is embarrassing.
They have outlawed, and I don't know this. You're my football guy.
I may not.
The bull in the ring drill.
Oh, yeah. Bull in the ring is a good time. You basically have a guy in the middle, and then you kind of circle him around, and you hit him, and then they come flying in, and you send a guy after him. It's a violent drill as well.
Well, you can't do that one anymore.
Bull in the ring.
That one makes more sense.
Bull in the ring, I don't think you really need to do. The Oklahoma drill is... That is football. Like, that's part of that. Everybody involved there is doing something that they would do on the field. The bull in the ring thing is a little outrageous. I don't think you need the bull in the ring. Cool name, though.
So there are two others. I only know the two Albert Breer posted.
Okay.
They've outlawed the Oklahoma drill, the bull in the ring drill. I don't know what the other two that they've outlawed, but they've now outlawed four drills. Can't do that anymore.
I'm guessing the third one is tackling. And the fourth
can't
one...
Can't do that. Yeah, no, you're not allowed to tackle
and
anybody.
Blocking. And they've eliminated all of those. That's a shame.
So evidently, back on April 17th, the league held a forum. They got a bunch of guys together, They discussed this whole thing. Like Andy Heck, Mike Devlin, Bill Callahan, but they also had college guys. They had like Buddy Tevens, the Dartmouth head coach, was part of it.
Probably a smart guy.
They had... coaches, players, Mike Vrabel was part of it, LeCharles Bentley to KO Spikes, but that group is the group that proposed outlawing these drills, and they have taken that on.
That is a shame. I mean, we are looking at, in our lifetime, it just being flag football. Isn't that the next step? Like, eventually, quarterbacks will... I think it'll be tackle with the exception of the quarterbacks first. I think they'll try that on for size. Like a red jersey for all the quarterbacks. That might be. And then eventually you're going to start to see less. I mean, you're already seeing less hitting. They're going to eliminate kickoffs altogether at some point, and it's going to be a real kind of finesse game. A lot of points, but not a lot of hitting. That's obviously what they're going to.
I got
to
find the other two and see if they. Now, you were okay with outlawing the bull in the ring drill.
Yeah, I mean.
You weren't okay with outlawing the Oklahoma drill.
Well, bull in the ring drill, I don't think you necessarily need to do it. I don't think it should be outlawed. I think if the coaches feel like we're going to do a little bull in the ring, get the guys all fired up, go ahead, do bull in the ring.
So
Oklahoma drill is a classic.
So for folks, and we're getting some texts from people who say, you know, they didn't play football. What is the Oklahoma drill? You get two guys in a narrow space.
Yes.
They usually mark it off with pads.
Yes.
And they lay down.
Yes.
And on the whistle, they get up and try to kill each other.
Well, they block each other. And then, so there's a couple variations.
Oh, they try to kill each other.
Well, there's also variations to it. And so you can have an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, and then a ball carrier and a linebacker. You can do it that way as well. And so, and then, but they narrow it. So you don't have the whole field to run around like crazy.
No, you've got a little narrow alleyway, like this hall out here.
Yeah, and so sometimes they'll do it without the linebacker, and then that way the defensive lineman just has to tackle the ball carrier and shed the block and do that. Other times you have the, there's like a safety or a linebacker there, and it's just monster hits. It's monster hits. People get all kinds of fired up about it, and that's, I guess, why they want to take it away.
I think their fear, obviously, is injury. I mean, you've had guys getting injured in OTAs. I mean, you've already had guys lost for the season. Yeah, Reuben Foster, done for the year, gets hurt in the first 15 minutes of OTAs, which are non-contact. There's no hitting.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is say, we got to protect our investment here.
I guess, but you also need to prepare to tackle. Like, the only time you tackle can't be on Sundays. And if it is, it's going to be really sloppy. Or the times that you're blocking. Or, like, those are, that's a great way of, without playing a full-on game, to replicate some of the skills that you need for game day is the Oklahoma drill. I don't really get it. Now, you're not going to do the Oklahoma drill every single day. You're not going to go full contact and practice every single day. But when you do,
they've already limited that in training camp.
Yeah.
You know, certain days, a certain number of padded practices, certain times you can hit.
I don't know. That seems like a mistake. They should definitely allow that in there.
Not anymore, pal. So you and Scheim, get lined up out there. Let's go. We'll do it.
I'm going to steamroll Rossi. I just put my head down.
I've been waiting for the time. He's a little larger.
I'll take on anybody at this station in an Oklahoma drill.
See, I like that.
Except for Wiggy.
Christian Fourier.
What about Fourier?
Okay. Take him. Maybe not.
Fourier would dominate the
Glenn?
Oklahoma.
Are you kidding me?
Anybody but the two former professional football players. How's that?
That's fair. You could just hurdle Glenn, I think.
No,
you
I don't
hurdle.
Know.
Yeah, just hurdle
Even when he's standing.
I could stiff arm him.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. We get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. We'll play Jeopardy at 12:30, making further fools of ourselves. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.